Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You're listening to 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, and this episode is sponsored by Kneaders Bakery and Cafe, a taste of home in every bite. My friends, I know I've talked about this before, but I cannot say it enough. It is a huge boost for me when I get to eat a delicious, fresh lunch in the middle of my workday. And whenever I'm close to a Kneaders, that is my choice for a quick stop to grab the bacon avocado sandwich on focaccia with a mint brownie for dessert. Nothing better. If you live in Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Nevada, Texas, or Utah, you might have a Kneaders near you, and if you're not sure, you should look it up and see, because I highly recommend Kneaders to make feeding yourself and your family a bit easier as a busy mom. You can dine in, order catering for a party you're hosting, or even just grab a loaf of fresh-baked bread to add a special homemade touch to dinner. You can't go wrong with the homemade, tasty quality that Kneaders serves. Use code 3and30 for $2 off of an entree by using the Kneaders app or through their website through May 15th. When you use that code, they will know that 3and30 sent you and that we appreciate their support of the show. So go to Kneaders website or app to place your order. That's Kneaders, and use the discount code 3and30. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. As a parent of spirited, intense children, I have plenty of experience with big meltdowns and, quote, bad behaviors. Whether it's a child losing their crap because they have the wrong socks for skiing, or a child lashing out with some big swear words when they are overtired and overstimulated, I've been there. Possibly in the last week. Just saying it's possible. Through over a decade of researching parenting, I have developed some solid skills for staying calm and emotionally safe when my kids are dysregulated. And one of my friends who's been on this journey with me is Cheryl Cardall. I have watched with admiration as she's learned how to parent her own family of strong-willed, neurodiverse children with love, connection, and humor. And I was so incredibly proud of her when she started her own podcast several years ago to share everything that she was learning. Her podcast, Fight Like a Mother, focuses on mental health and parenting kids with extra challenges, and she has built a great community on Instagram of like-minded parents, as well as planning in-person and online conferences to bring together parents of children with additional needs. Cheryl is a mom of five, ages 13 to 24, and I can't wait for you to learn from her today. I especially love how Cheryl doesn't just focus on meltdowns with little kids. There's so much parenting advice out there for toddler tantrums. But what do we do if it's our big kids or our teenagers who are having a hard time? Cheryl has some great words of wisdom for all of us if you're in that boat too. So let's get into it. Cheryl, welcome to 3 and 30. I am thrilled to get to talk to you today.
I am so thrilled to be here, Rachel. It's going to be so fun to chat.
Well, I'm wondering if before we get into your takeaways, we can just get a little bit of your background and some context. How did you become so passionate about mental health for families and being an advocate for parents of children who have mental health struggles?
You know, it's all personal experience is what's driven this passion of mine. It was probably a decade or more ago that we started to have some real struggles with one of our kids, and I had no idea what to do. I have a degree in human and family development and a specialty in early childhood education. And so I thought I knew the answers, right? And then something like this comes along and you realize I don't have many answers. And so I was looking for resources and they weren't there. And it was hard to find a community and it was hard to find people who are willing to talk about it, because you can't talk about everything that happens in your home to your next door neighbor, or even to your mom or sister or something, because they may not understand. And so this passion of mine just was driven by the lack of resources and community and understanding. And so I decided to create.
Yes.
For people.
I love that. And thank you so much for doing that and for all of your work. I know it's blessing countless families. I've known you for a long time. We both worked with Power of Moms mm-hmm. over 10 years ago. Right. So probably before your child started yeah. struggling so much. And one thing with sort of conventional parenting advice is that it works for neurotypical kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think both you and I have had that experience of we had gone deep into learning about parenting and reading all the resources, and yet we were coming up against struggles with our kids that weren't being addressed by some of these incredible parenting websites and resources. But all of a sudden we realized there's a need here for my kid that is struggling in different ways. And so I love that you have sort of created this niche for parents that find themselves there, that maybe the typical stuff isn't working for their kid. And you say, I get it. I'm right there with you. Come over here and listen to my podcast. Dive into the resources that are all for kids that have some extra needs and families that have, you know, a variety of complex situations going on.
Right. What I found is, I mean, I have a kind of a weird hobby of reading parenting books and going to conferences and things like that. And what I was finding for myself is that I was feeling shame that it was something wrong with me, that these weren't working because they were working for other people and they are research-based and, you know, all the things, but they weren't working for my particular family. And what I learned is that there's different research. There's different resources for families of kids that have neurodivergence in their home. Mm-hmm. And so I think we don't often know where to find that. And so I want any parents listening that are trying to use those resources, that maybe it's not you at all or your child. It's that you need different resources.
Mm-hmm. And it's their unique brain. It's yes. There's nothing wrong with them. It's that their brain is different and we can parent to that. And I think that leads really well into what you're going to talk about today. You're going to talk a little bit about the brain
yes.
and what you've learned about it, both the brains of our children, but also our brains and exactly. how we can understand what's going on in our brains as we're parenting. And it can help us to keep a safe environment for our kids and for ourselves and our homes. So let's dive into your first takeaway.
Okay. Let's dive into this. So before I start to explain this, I want to say that our top value in our parenting is safety for our kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you about this brain anatomy because it will explain so much about what safety actually means. So I'm going to hold my hand up here. Your audience members probably will not be able to see it, but pretend like you're seeing me holding my hand up in a fist, but with my thumb tucked under my fingers. And this is our brain. And these four fingers in the front represent that prefrontal cortex that is representative of logic and judgment and good choices and impulse control and all of that. Okay. This doesn't get developed in kids till they're in their mid-20s, fully developed, right? Well, let's peek under the front prefrontal cortex. And there's a little almond-shaped thing in our brain called the amygdala. And the whole purpose of the amygdala is to scan our world to see if we are safe. It's a saber-toothed tiger is chasing me and I am running, and my adrenaline is up and my body is doing everything it can to protect me, right? This is a very important function that we have in our brain. We can be thankful for the amygdala. And sometimes it's overly sensitive. And that's anxiety. That's highly sensitive kids, highly sensitive parents. And so it scans and it sees everything as a danger. Even when they're not being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, they may be just having a hard time in school, but it feels the same to them. And that amygdala is saying, danger, danger, danger. You have to. So their heart is racing and their adrenaline is up and they're shaking and they seem to get defiant or they shut down. I mean, there's so many things that happen when that amygdala takes over because they don't have that prefrontal cortex to necessarily make that rational decision. But also as parents, we can flip that lid. And then that amygdala takes over. When we're not in our prefrontal cortex, then we're yelling at our kids, then we're punishing, then we're harsh. And that's because somehow we feel unsafe too. So I think it's so important to understand that for both us and our kids, because it makes a world of difference.
Oh, yeah. And it is those meltdowns that your kids might have that make no rational sense to you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what is the big deal? But for whatever reason, this kid is triggered by the sensory environment around them, by the overwhelm, by the fear of something that seems totally irrational to you. And our instinct is to shut it down, to shame it, to say, shape up, knock it off. When really, if we understand, their brain feels like they're under threat. It gives us a lot more empathy where we can connect in that moment instead of flipping out ourselves.
That's true.
We can use our own prefrontal to say, okay, who's the parent I want to be right now to meet this kid?
Make some deep
breaths.
Clearly
stressed. Yes.
And guess what? It is irrational. I mean, we can even say that. Their brain is irrational right now. So they need me to be the rational one. They need me to help them co-regulate this. And let's just talk about these anxiety responses that we might see in kids, because kids have different responses and they are all fight or flight. They are all this amygdala telling them they're unsafe. So we hear about the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn responses. Fight is obvious. It's a kid who gets aggressive, who yells, who gets defiant. They're seeing that ODD, oppositional defiant disorder, is really a stress response and feeling unsafe in their body. Flight is they take off. I have a child who, when he was young, he had severe anxiety and we didn't know it, but a couple of times he was at a friend's house and for some reason felt unsafe and took off running out of their house without shoes on. He ran home, but the mom of the friend didn't know that. And that was his flight response.
Or a kid also, who goes and hides, maybe.
Yes, that too. Yeah.
They hide in a closet or somewhere and you're like, what is going on? That's the flight. Yeah.
That's
response.
The flight response. The freeze response, I have a kid who just literally goes mute, cannot talk, cannot function, it seems paralyzed. And as a parent, you're like, if you'll just tell me what's wrong, if you'll just talk, we can figure this out. Well, they can't talk. It's not that they won't talk, it's that they can't talk. And so I think to remember those things with our kids, how important that is when they're going into that, they're not choosing this. Right? It's their body's way of saying, I am under stress and under danger. I am not safe. And so this is how my body is responding.
Mm-hmm. And then what do we as parents do in that moment when our kid is feeling so triggered to help them?
Well, a lot of it is so dependent on the particular child. So some ideas are some kids respond to touch. Can I give you a hug right now? I always ask permission. Can I give you a hug right now? Can I rub your back? Some kids, that triggers them more. So maybe just staying in the room. Hey, I've got you. I know this seems scary. I'm right here if you need me. Mm-hmm. Some of my kids don't even want me there. So I'll say, okay, I'm leaving. The key is for me to be calm, for me to take some deep breaths, because it's not natural. We naturally we kind of get triggered as well. So I think the key is for us to do our inner work so that we can stay calm in those moments and be that safe person for them. So say, I'm going to be in the other room when you're ready, but lecturing, talking, trying to teach them in that moment, they're not capable of hearing you or listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thanks for another time. Hey, I noticed you got so stressed out earlier. Like, let's talk about some ways that we can help you move through that later. And so you make a list, you collaborate with them, but not in the heat of the moment, because it may escalate and it certainly isn't going to do them any benefit at that point.
Yeah. And Cheryl, as you're talking, one thing that came to mind is that it's almost less what you do and more what you think in that moment about your child.
Absolutely. Yes.
So if you're thinking this kid is a drama king, knock it off. This kid is such a brat. That is going to come out in your response. If you're thinking this kid is having a really hard time, or this kid's amygdala is triggered right now and they're not in their right mind, it almost doesn't matter what you do next. You can try different things, but you're just coming at it from a much safer, more connected place because of the thoughts you're thinking about your child, because you understand this is their brain, not them, that is making them act in this irrational way.
Right, exactly. I think parenting affirmations are so powerful. I know this shifting my perspective in my parenting with my kids who struggle has been absolutely life-changing in our family as well as in my relationships with my kids. So a couple of the mantras that I regularly have, I have them up in my house, are kids do well when they can, not when they want to. Because I think people say, oh, they won't do that. Or they're just, set, like you said, a drama queen or whatever. Kids don't want to be throwing these massive meltdowns. I'll tell you what, one of my kids, when he was younger, would throw, you know, have these massive meltdowns, be massively emotionally dysregulated. And he would come out of it and recognize what had happened. And just the shame would come over him. And he would end up crying on the floor, you know? And so I think when we can think, this is not their rational brain. They would not be doing this if they felt safe and comfortable and weren't dealing with, maybe they're dealing with anxiety. Maybe they're dealing with bullying at school. Maybe there's lots of other things under that surface that maybe we don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. Another one is that behavior is communication, and that kids aren't giving us a hard time. They're having a hard time. And what are they communicating with their behavior? Because I think that's so vital to recognize. Like for me, that's like, oh, I even do this with adults in the grocery store, adults who are having a meltdown. Like, I wonder what's going on in their life that they're having this meltdown in the grocery store. So I think it's something powerful to have for every human.
Yeah. One of my favorite mantras comes from Dr. Becky from Good Inside, that this is a good kid having a hard time.
Yes, absolutely.
And she even says that about herself. I'm a good mom having a hard time when
Yes, parents do well when they can. Our behavior is communication too. So I think we need to give ourselves a lot of grace as well. We might yell at our kids because it's a trigger and we're not having a good day. We're tired, we're hungry, we're overwhelmed. Give ourselves a lot of grace and take accountability and apologize to our kids, because then it teaches them what to do in the future.
Yes, that's beautiful. Let's take a quick break to thank this episode's sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. In today's episode, we're talking about how to stay calm and emotionally safe when our children are struggling with big emotions and big behaviors. I have found that in order to be able to do this for my children, I must have a trustworthy outlet to talk through the challenges of parenting. But sometimes it's hard to figure out who to talk to, especially as your kids get older. Some of the struggles are private, and your child might not want friends or family to know what's going on. This is why I found therapy to be such a helpful place to get the heaviness of parenting off of my chest. I love talking through different situations and scenarios that are going on with my kids with my licensed professional counselor, because he's emotionally removed from the situation and can offer sage advice based on cognitive strategies as well as research. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I recommend trying BetterHelp. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Whatever you're struggling with in parenting, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/3in30 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/3in30. This podcast is sponsored by KiwiCo, a monthly subscription box of seriously fun and enriching art and learning projects for kids of all ages. Summer is fast approaching, my friends. Can you even believe it? I get a wave of excitement thinking about the great memories we make as a family traveling each year. KiwiCo is inviting kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first ever summer adventure series. Kids from 2 years old to teens can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks, with enriching content and fun activities to accompany each project. If you're a little worried about long days at home and too much screen time this summer, let KiwiCo help you break that up. I love how KiwiCo always has something for every age, whether your child wants to explore space or learn about dinosaurs. I also like that you have the option to receive all of your summer adventure crates at once or weekly for 6 weeks. I can't wait to see what fun comes in our summer adventure series. I know there's a bottle rocket kit where the kids build an actual bottle rocket, and that sounds like something that my Noah would absolutely love. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/3in30summer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KIWICO.com/3in30summer. What's your second takeaway for us?
It's to keep safety as a top parenting value. Instead of having compliance, obedience, or perfection or achievement as your parenting values, safety and the relationship are so important to have. And it's not, it's physical safety, obviously. Everyone has to be physically safe to even start the cycle of being emotionally safe. Like, physical safety is first, but emotional safety has to be a top priority in our home, especially for kids with differently wired brains, because lots of things look like threats to them. Punishments look like threats to them. They have rejection sensitivity. Anything we say that seems like a punishment or seems like a rejection, or we raise our voice just a little bit, it makes them feel unsafe. And so I think we have to get to know our kids really well and to create that safety. Now, that doesn't mean like you don't have any boundaries in your home. It doesn't mean you don't have any rules or things that they need to do. But it means that it's how you do it. It's not that you do it, right? So we had a kid who started to have some of these behavioral issues, and we panicked. And we did all the things that everyone said, oh, that kid needs more tough love, and he needs punishment, and he needs, you know, you need to really buckle down on him. And guess what? That didn't work. Mm-hmm. It made it worse. And so as we have worked on changing ourselves and our parenting and working on that connection rather than control and compliance, it's made a humongous difference in our relationship with that child. And we have way more influence now than we did when we were trying to punish it out of him or tough love it out of him or whatever. He didn't need to change. We needed to change some of our approaches and to help him heal those inner things that were hurting him.
That's beautiful. And it struck me when you said that you actually have more influence on him now than you did before, when maybe compliance was what you were going for. The value you were going for was like, he will learn to obey. It made him less likely.
100%.
When you keep safety as your top parenting value, emotional safety and connection, in the end, you might actually get some of these other things that you want, like compliance and obedience. Not always. We all know that.
Yes.
But because those things come from a mutual respect, you listen to those people that you respect and feel safe around. I don't think any of us really, when you get down deep, would say that compliance, blind compliance, is what we really want from our kids.
Yes.
But we sometimes act that way because we just want them to do what we say and toe the line. But underneath it all, what we really want is connection, not compliance.
Right. We really don't want the control and compliance. We want the connection and relationship, because these are human beings that we are going to have a lifelong relationship with.
Right.
And I just think the goal isn't to be a behavior monitor. Our goal is a relationship with that child. Our goal isn't to stop those hard behaviors. I think so often we're like, well, you just have to stop this, you know, especially if we're out in public or at school or whatever. We get so caught up in what other people think of us as parents that we're like, you just have to stop this. Instead, take a breath and look at that child directly in front of you and say, what do they need right now from me? Mm-hmm. What are they struggling with? Instead of making that behavior the focus, you make that child the focus. And that creates so much more safety.
Yes, absolutely. And especially when they're younger, you can sometimes say to them, you can stay safe while also taking them to an environment that's more like saying, buddy, I can see you're really dysregulated right now. I'm going to pick you up and we're going to go to the car where we can talk this out or cry this out or scream it out or whatever. That's a little harder when they become teenagers, but you can stay safe while also insisting that they respect the environment, holding your boundary. You can stay in connection with them by the way that you talk to them, which, like we talked about in the first takeaway, stems from the way you're thinking about them in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, with teenagers, it can get scarier than it does with a three-year-old. But guess what? Toddlers and teens are very much alike. And when you have a teen who has a differently wired brain, they don't have that emotional maturity. That frontal cortex takes longer to develop. And so they look like they're in this huge body, but they don't have that mental or emotional maturity to regulate this when everything feels unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, your kids are not babies anymore. What's the range of your kids' age?
13 to 24. So about older kids, lots older kids.
So what do you do to maintain safety with an older child who's really dysregulated or having a meltdown? How do you do that in that moment? It is harder when they're bigger and older. Harder.
Well, we have options at our house. We have a punching bag in our garage. We have, you know, we talk about it a lot when they're not in the moment. But in that moment, sometimes you can't stop it. You know, please go outside. Everyone, you make sure that everyone else is safe. And sometimes you just have to let it go. Because really, I asked my therapist once, I'm like, what do I do? And he's like, unless you can throw him in an ice cold lake, that would regulate his nervous system or shock his nervous system. And you're not going to be able to do that when you're, you know, when he's a teenager. You kind of have to just say, okay, we'll get through this. You talk through yourself to make yourself sure you're safe and stay calm, and you'll get through it. And as their brain grows and develops and they get the help and support that they need, and feel that safety more and more, those lessen and they lessen in intensity.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that even with my son. He's only 12, but I do feel like it's lessened in intensity the more that I have been a sturdy, gentle, connected parent. Those meltdowns have lessened in intensity. They may increase in intensity again once he enters the teen years.
Hormones happen.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So
it pretty happens. But I think if we know that, I think we can just say, okay, that we can get through this. This is just a phase. We can get through this. So again, it's that thinking. It's that shifting that thinking. Also, I just want to give a couple of suggestions for people to look into. Dr. Ross Green has a book called The Explosive Child, which changed my world and changed my entire perception. Also, Dr. Mona Delhook also has amazing books on brain-body parenting and beyond behaviors. And so those are some really great resources. Mona's been on my own podcast twice, and she's incredible. So those are some really great resources that have changed our thinking and our practices in parenting.
Okay, thank you. That's great. And then what's your third and final takeaway for us?
We kind of talked about this, but just remember that it's a message to how they are doing. And if they're having consistent dysregulation and meltdowns, something is happening in their brain that's making their body not feel safe. And so I think we need to remember that and maybe get some extra support for them. Whether that is having a support person at school, maybe the school counselor can help, or getting them into therapy. I think that just getting them that support and shifting our perspective that I'm the parent, but I don't have everything that they might need. And so getting them that support and thinking that you're not a bad parent because this is happening. You're a great intentional parent that you're so concerned about what is happening. And so adding support people to you can only help you and help your child. And that has been really game changing for us. I also think like compassion and empathy are our secret sauce in parenting. And that comes from shifting that perspective about these challenging behaviors, this defiance, this aggression, et cetera. It changes your world when you're like, oh, they are really struggling right now. I wonder what's happening. Instead of, oh, not again. Like, what are you doing? Or, I mean, again, we're human. So give yourself grace, but also work on shifting that perspective to a compassionate perspective instead of, I can't believe this is happening to me again. One deeply personal story that I would love to share that kind of brings together all these principles is an experience I had with one of my kids who had made some really poor choices. And we got a call in the middle of the night that we needed to go pick him up from the place that he was. And when we got there, he was sitting on the curb outside this place and he had his head in his hands and he looked up and just, he had tears streaming down his face and he knew that he'd messed up. And my husband ran right over to him, took him by the hand and pulled him up into a giant bear hug and just said, "Do you know that we will always love you no matter what happens?" And my son said, "Well, I do now." And that safety in that scary moment for him, he just knew that we were there for him no matter what. It didn't take away the consequences of what had happened. It didn't take away the bad choices, but he knew we had his back. And that says a lot about the work that my husband has done, because I know dads a lot of times want to get into the tough love and punishment. They too can be the safe place for their kids. Mm. And it was a really beautiful, impactful experience for all of us.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Cheryl, and for all of the good work that you're doing for families. I would love if you could tell listeners where they can hear and learn more from you.
Well, I host the Fight Like a Mother podcast, which is for parents raising kids with extra challenges, neurodivergence, mental illness, etc. And I am on Instagram under my name, Cheryl Cardall, and we have a great community of parents who understand the challenges and who are there to support each other. It's really a great place.
Well, thank you so much for all of the good work that you're doing for families, for kids with mental health challenges and other neurodiversities. And I'm just so grateful you came on 3 and 30.
Well, thank you, Rachel, for having me on. It's been great to chat with you.
Many thanks to Cheryl for sharing such compassionate and wise takeaways with us today. And as a recap, she taught us to first, remember it's the fault of the amygdala, not your child, when he or she has an irrational meltdown. The amygdala is a small almond-shaped structure in our brain that detects danger and alerts our nervous system to go into fight, flight, or freeze mode. When the amygdala is activated, our child is not thinking rationally. And when we understand that, we're less likely to have thoughts like, "Ugh, he is such a brat," or "Why can't she just get it together? This is not that big of a deal." The way we think about our children when they're melting down will lead to the way we treat them and talk to them in those moments of stress, which leads to our next takeaway. Try to keep emotional safety as a top parenting value when your child is acting out. It is so easy to just want compliance when your child is being difficult. Believe me, I get it, and I jump to this all the time. But if we can instead take a breath and calm down our own amygdala reaction and nervous system when our child is losing it, we can remind ourselves that emotional safety is more important than blind obedience or fear-based compliance. We are playing the long game and prioritizing a close, connected relationship with our children when we stay calm and stay safe when they are not at their best. And third and final takeaway, remember that your children's behavior is a message about how they're doing and what they need. When we understand that kids do well when they can, we see their behaviors as less of a personal failing or a defiant choice and more of a cry for help and support. It changes the tone of our questions from, "What's wrong with this kid? Why can't he behave?" to, "What's going on for this kid underneath? And why is he struggling so much? What help can we find for him?" As we start to shift the way we think about our intense children in their most difficult, most vulnerable moments, we'll start to make real progress with them. Not only will they feel more connected to us and more safe with us, but research and my personal experience have shown that kids often start to behave, quote, better, because their amygdala will be triggered less often. This is a win for the entire family. If you have one or several of these firecracker children at home, please know that I see you, I get you, and I'm always rooting for you. I mean it when I say that your child is so lucky to have a mom who listens to podcasts like this, who wants to learn the best way to support them. Hang in there, keep doing the good work, and have a beautiful week with your family.
Hey, I'm Lizzie Mathis, the host of the Cool Mom Code podcast, where motherhood is your key card to the coolest spot in town. I'm excited to give you a behind-the-scenes, real-talk combo between some of the most influential and tastemaker mamas I know. Subscribe and stay tuned for new episodes weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't ever miss a beat. See you there.